So this is the test, test, test. I'm okay? Everybody can hear me loud and clear? Okay, then let's start. So, how's everyone?
Hot.
Hot? Oh yeah, some are hot and some are cold, right? This is just how life is and, you know, like, maybe we can also cool it down a little bit. I don't know if that is the possibility. It is on 24, it can also be on 23 if you want. Anyway, I would like to start with our PowerPoint presentation. Is that coming up? Or shall I just click? I don't even know how to do this. Ah, okay, wait. You have to go back. We have to have nothing first. So, I have prepared a preaching, and it is 3 points. So, you know, because I'm coming from the Dutch Reformed background, we always have 3 points. And these are some of the characteristics of God and who God is. So it's always the best to begin with God, to end with God, and in the middle, it's about God as well. And, of course, about us too, because we are also in the picture too, because we are people who are in search for meaning, in search for God, and in search for each other. So let's just see how that works. The reality in the business world is, this is a businessman on the picture, or in the picture, the reality in the business world is that when you want to start a business, you need funding. You want to have good funding so that you can start well, that people buy into it. So, and then you write a business proposal. And the next thing is, of course, then you present this business proposal. And the first thing what you do is actually to state the problem. You know, what is the problem in what you want to address, why this product that you want to make is the best of the best, right? So, very simple. Now also, I want to actually want to address the issue in Scripture with us as human beings, as people. What is the problem? Well, the problem is that we have a problem, and that is that we have sinned. Adam and Eve has been chased out of paradise, and now here we are. We left the presence of the Lord. Not being in his proximity, this state has left us very vulnerable indeed, especially for Satan and his minions that are actually evil spirits, fallen angels. Our search of God, trying to come closer, to know him, to pursue him, is our only hope. But praise be to the Lord. You know, he's not left us totally, because he also is pursuing us. And in doing so, he brought us and he brings us closer to him every day. It is the Lord who reveals himself to us. And we, being receiving that kind of, you know, who God is and how do we need to actually serve him and so on, he is coming, he's presenting us, or him, to ourselves. And there are 3 revelations about God that stand out to me. And the first one is, God is life. God is life, so Jesus says also, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. 2 weeks ago, Nick spoke about holiness and the word kadosh. One of his conclusions was that holy is life, or that's what gives life. That was a new revelation for me. And I think it really works together, because if we are holy, we actually are able to receive that life from God. Now, A.W. Tozer says, holy is the way God is. Holiness is not, and holy is not, what we can produce ourselves on our own. It has to be imputed, as the old you know, King James Version says. It has to be put inside us. That's the reason why it is always called imputed in those very ancient scriptures. In Leviticus, holy is what God is and humans are not, but that what we are called to reflect. In doing so, to be like him. And in being so, to not only have life ourselves, but also to spread that life. God's longing is to share his life with us, in us, and through us. Holiness becomes part of us, and we share with those around us. So, again, the question, how is life? How is life? How are you? Any answer?
Wonderful.
Wonderful, great. I have also another good news. At least, you know, one says wonderful and great. I hope everybody is feeling like this. Eternal life is better, right? Life is good, eternal life is better. Jesus, the high priest, has good news for us. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. He doesn't leave us as orphans, but he gives us even his Holy Spirit, so that the holiness of God lives inside us. I mean, isn't that amazing that God came and dwelt in us and then also among us? Thus, God gives life to us and we live in him every moment, and we can invite him in every circumstances. How many circumstances this last week did you have that were difficult? How many relationships are difficult in your life that you have? And you can invite the Holy Spirit in the circumstances and in the relationships so that there is holiness and the participation and the imparting? Anyway, of life by the Holy Spirit in those relationships, in those circumstances. We are not alone. God is holy, and to be connected with him is never ending. Cheer up. It's a very serious subject, but you know, cheer up. It is never ending. It is eternal. It is eternal life with the Lord. That's actually where we participate in. And that's amazing. You know, that we can participate in God's life. The opposite of life, there's always an opposite of life, right? That's what leads to death or destruction. Unholy living and whatever is not wholesome decays and corrupts. It leads to destruction and eventually to death itself. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, Moses says, You are a people holy to the Lord, your God. As believers, it is God who calls us to be holy to him, to live that life. As church, we suppose and urged by God to live holy lives. We choose life. Amen? You choose life, I choose life. We want to live in God's presence. So there is hope, you know, for us. The second revelation is that, okay, this is eternal life. We have that already. So, next slide, right? Here we go. God is love. So, God is life. God is love. The second revelation is that God is love. 1 John 4:10. When Sharon, remember Sharon Alley? She spoke June, she's already a long time gone, right? But they will come back. They promised. On June 13th, I pondered a long time over the sharp contrast between Abram and the man of Sodom. I don't know if you remember that preaching. It was very, in one sense, uplifting and very clarifying to me. And it really built me up. Sharon mentioned the difference. Abram wanting to bless That's the next slide, actually. Abram and the three visitors. Wanting to bless, what's Abram's response to the three visitors? Providing hospitality and going out of his way to bless his guests. He slaughters an animal. He makes it all worthwhile. They even put milk, I think, in that dish as well. I don't know how good that tasted, because since ever we have the kosher laws. But, you know, meat and milk, you know, like, went together in that dish. I mean, he lavished it on them. He was hospitable, reflecting God's hospitality, by the way. You know, he really reflected that he wanted to give his best. And now, in stark contrast, the man of Sodom. And Sodom and Gomorrah, they are all in one big pot here. And how, and it's the difference between God's kingdom that Abram reflected and how Satan rules and corrupts society. We see the man of Sodom and their response to the two visitors. Next slide, right? Lot and the two angels. Lot was really wanting to shelter them, wanting to protect them. But all what the people of Sodom wanted is to hurt them, inflict pain, suffering, and most likely kill those visitors. There is in 1 Corinthians, there are a couple of chapters, 12, 13, and 14. And 13 is in the middle. And in the middle of what? It's about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing. You know, even Paul says, seek the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But then he says, I even show you a better way. God is love, right? God is love. And I want to read this better way. If I speak in the tongues of man or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding cymbal, a gong. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all the possessions to the poor and give my body over to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patience. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Can you hear the Holy Spirit talking through this? It is He who is like that. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Amen. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, that what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. We love because He loved us first. So as a church, what are we doing? We choose love, right? And you and me, we choose love for ourselves. It is the higher way. The third revelation is that God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all, in 1 John 1:5. Did you ever ponder why the devil hates us? What is the problem with the devil? Why does he hate us? It is one simple answer, I guess, and that is that we, as human beings, have the spark of God inside us. And as believers, God has ignited that spark. And we live with a full knowledge of him, with that he has come in our lives. And the devil, he thinks he has a case, because how come that they can do something and that they sin and I have no recall? You know, and so he accuses us day and night because he thinks we should all go with him to hell. But what did Jesus say? You are my disciples. You are the people that I came to rescue. And so Jesus' kingdom is light, and there is no darkness at all. The good news, Jesus says that the kingdom of God is among us. It has come. It is here. It has all the attributes. Hell might be without love, and it is without love, without joy, without peace, without patience, without self-control, without kindness, goodness, gentleness, and faithfulness. The kingdom of God is full and only of all these attributes. It is full of love, full of joy, peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and with self-control. That is the kingdom of God. And we have come to that light. God is light, full of the attributes. There is no unforgiveness in the kingdom. Eventually in heaven, no hurt, no pain, no suffering. Let us therefore live lives in the light, and wherever we are, reflecting Jesus. Who we want to be on earth and how we interact with people is up to us. With friend or foe, it is up to us how we respond to people. And the question is, do we want to be a cup filler or a hole driller? It sounds like nice, right? Anyway, but that's almost the end of my sermon, you guys. I mean, seriously, it was short. But, you know, this is really the question, isn't it? How do we want to live? Do we want to have our little Black & Decker out, our big Black & Decker, and put holes in people's cups? Or do we want to actually protect others and give them the full cup that I think God wants to have them, a full cup? Do we want to be cup fillers or hole drillers? The question is ours. And I'm sure that if it's stated like that, you want to be also a cup filler. Amen? Sounds good, right? Now we have to practice that in life. I have two more things that I would like to just, you know, in church and also in my own life, in our relationships, we get rubbed the wrong way. You know, every so now and then you think, why did he say that? What is her beef? Why do she does things like this? You know, be quick, very quick in forgiving. You know, because actually Jesus said that if you don't forgive, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. I don't want to be there in that position where my heavenly Father cannot forgive me and will not forgive me. Forgive, forgive, forgive. If it's hard work, and I know it's hard work, forgive. That's just an encouragement to just forgive on a constant level. Maybe the things that even from the past, long time ago, and God brings it to your light because you think, well, I have forgiven everybody. You know, I once had this story. You know, like someone also said, you know, like, are you actually against a people group? And I thought, wow, I came here and I love everybody, and you know. And then God spoke to me and says, what about your neighbors? And I thought, well, neighbors? And I was a little bit angry at that time about my neighbors, because my roof was always full of cups and all kind of other things. And so every Friday I had to clean up, and a little bit gradually cleaning up and stuff like that. And then I thought, oh yes, my neighbors, Lord, I just give it to you, I'm just forgiving them, everything fine. The next Friday, I'm cleaning up, and it was before a cleanup, I see this guy sitting there, and he says, I say hi to him, you know, because now, of course, I have nothing anymore in my heart. I say hi to the neighbor, and he says, hi, and so we started talking a little bit, and then I said, well, bless you today, you know, it was Friday, so bless the Shabbat, you know, and then he said, I knew it that you want to bless me, I knew it. Oh, that's a very strange response from this neighbor. And I thought, wow, our neighbors really wait for us that we bless them. You know, the power of forgiveness and the life that we have, never underestimate that. You know, it is just amazing. You know, and I'm not talking about, you know, like just, oh, it's amazing, you know. No, it's amazing. It's just, you're going to be shocked about what you can do to others by your unforgiveness and by your forgiveness. Amen.
Forgiveness is also a choice. Do you want it?
Yeah.
And if you don't want it, you ask the Lord and he'll help you.
Amen. Amen. Did everybody hear that? Yep.
It's a choice.
It's a choice. It's a choice that you have. And then what else?
I said forgiveness is a choice. And if you can't or you don't want, you ask the Lord and he will help you.
Yeah, he will help us. You ask the Lord if I cannot, it's something is so blocked, I cannot. Ask the Lord for help and he will help you forgiving. We need the outside help. And sometimes we talk to another person. Of course, that's the danger then of gossip. But, you know, just that you also forgive, you know, and that the other person does not say, oh, but yeah, this is really unforgivable what the other person did. No. You know, you have to have the right. But God will be able to forgive, you know, to lead you in that forgiveness process. And sometimes it is a couple of weeks, months, that there's so much hurt and so much bitterness and so much pain that you need really a clinic from the Lord to really help you working through all that. But do it. It's important.
You know, Harry, we also have to help others to forgive. Can I share one thing from last night? No, I can do it from here.
Yeah, but then we want everybody to hear. You, Gemma, you have always this wonderful insights.
We're having real neighbor problems, and I was on the verge of saying I forgive everybody. But what I wanted to share was the next door neighbor, who is a Filipino carer, has been with this family for 10 or 12 years, and she came last night in a state of total rage and total collapse about what was going on. And finally, I said to her, you can stay for supper, stay for dinner, you go and wash your hands, and you're going to let go of all the rage of what's been going on. And all I can say was, she did it, we had a great evening, and she came back today on Shabbat by taxi to try and help this chaotic mess next door, which I now am in the process of trying to forgive. But I just think that what you were saying is, we also have a responsibility to help other people. If you can't actually forgive, my words won't forgive, we just let go of the rage. It's not going to bless you. And she came back this morning and was forgiving.
Amen. You know, that's so true, isn't it? That's so true. Thank you, Gemma, for telling that. That's really good. Another thing is what I as the last point I want to make. Do you feel you might feel spiritually empty? You might feel dry. You might feel that you have no oil in your cup, right? Remember the 10 virgins? You know, you might, you know, all had oil, but then, you know, all slept, right? All woke up, and then five were without oil, and five were with oil. And the five with oil said, because the others wanted to have some oil from them, go and buy oil. Now, they sent those five to where? To the Holy Spirit. They said, get oil. And we can get oil if we are dry and run out. We can get oil just by the Holy Spirit, just to come again in His presence, just to fill up. And we have to do that again and again and again. And we have to, you know, do what God's Spirit says. And it's those very small things that we do in life. A prayer here, a helping hand there, like with your Filipino. You know, just it comes naturally when you're filled up. And keep being filled up by the Lord, by that oil that He gives. Amen? It's a very important point. Cannot stress it too much, but it's a whole sermon of itself. So I don't want to ruin another person's sermon when I already say it now, you know? So, but this is important because God is life, God is love, and God is light. And, you know, we have to choose it. And so may your choices be presented and may you choose life, love, and it's not happiness, it's light. Amen. Amen. Because we have something in the kingdom of God and we have there our place. Maybe we can just take a minute to just pray. Each one for yourself, or if you want to grab somebody else to pray as well, that's fine too. But let's make a just pause for a second. Amen. Lord, I want to thank you that you forgave us, that you are good to us, that you bless us. Lord, that you fill our cup with your goodness, and our cup runs over. Lord, when our cup is not running over, Lord, fill us again and again and again. And if we need to be forgiven, forgive us again and again and again, so as we also forgive others. I pray that in Jesus' name. Now, let us stand, shall we? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Let the name of the Lord be placed upon you in Jesus' name.
I lift it.